Yale scientists have discovered a promising way to trigger immune responses against certain tumors. The research, which was published this week in Science Signaling, offers new findings that could help improve therapies for certain aggressive cancers that are pretty difficult to treat. Joining us now is Yale doctor James Hansen. And Dr. Hansen, welcome to the show. Were you one of the researchers for this study?
I am, yes. I was the lead researcher.
That's what I thought. Well, Dr. Hansen, I appreciate you giving us the time. Talk to us a little bit more about these recent findings and what even got you into really focusing on this.
Yeah, sure. So tumors that are in the brain are some of the most aggressive kinds of cancers that we face in oncology. And one of the reasons that they are so tough to beat is that they've figured out ways to sort of cloak themselves, make them invisible to our own immune systems. And that's why they don't tend to respond to all these fancy new immunotherapies that we all see advertised on TV all the time. That is why these tumors are called immunologically cold. And we figured we need a way to raise the heat on these brain tumors. But how are we going to do that? And so we started thinking, well, where is the immune system particularly hot? Where is it overactive? And that led us to start thinking about diseases like autoimmune disease, like lupus, for example. In lupus, a patient's own immune system goes haywire and decides to start attacking its own cells and tissues. And so my team has been investigating mechanisms underlying that effect with the hopes that if we can understand that, maybe we could then turn that around and aim it towards brain tumors like glioblastoma. And we're very excited about what we're finding.
So I was going to say, if you don't mind, Dr. Hansen, because to me, this sounds like this could be groundbreaking. But I want to make sure I'm understanding correctly. So are the findings looking at how do we, like you said, warm up, find them essentially? Or is it more towards like, okay, once we found them, now we have certain therapies that will work to get rid of them?
Both. Yeah. So we need to find them.
Wow, this is groundbreaking.
I'm a little biased, but I think so. Yes.
I mean, listen, the facts are the facts. I mean, if you're telling me when you're talking about aggressive types of tumors and being able to detect them and being able to get rid of them, to me, that is reversing course when it comes to handling cancer.
Well, I surely hope so. Obviously, things have to progress through clinical trials and so on to make sure that it works the way we believe and that it's safe. But I'm all in on this, and I'm very, very optimistic, yes.
Okay, so Dr. Hansen, I do think I interrupted you there. So you were continuing to say what the findings were showing you, and so we know why this was sort of the attack, the approach, if you will, when you use lupus as an example of, okay, so why can't we do this with certain tumors in the brain? So you come up with this concept, and what did you find?
So what's remarkable about lupus is that patients with that disease tend to make very unusual antibodies. And what makes these antibodies strange is that they are reactive against the patient's own DNA. Now, that is problematic in that setting, but we started thinking about tumors and how they grow and how they die. And as they're constantly dividing and creating new cells, they're spitting out pieces of DNA. So they create sort of a cloud around them that is very, very rich in DNA, sort of like their exhaust. And so even though we can't necessarily see the tumors, we figured maybe these lupus antibodies could see their exhaust. And so if we let those antibodies just do their thing, find the exhaust from those tumors, and then track them back to their source, then they'll find them. And that's exactly what they do, which is fantastic. When they get there, these lupus antibodies have figured out one more trick that other antibodies don't know how to do. And that is follow those pieces of DNA back into the live cells in the area. And so they can actually cross through all the barriers that block other antibodies. So not to get too far into the woods, but most antibodies, the way they work, is by binding to things outside of cells. So things that are floating around in the blood or that are on the surface membrane of a cell, but not inside. And that's because cells don't like things to get inside. They keep things out. Now, some might say, well, some antibodies can get eaten, but that doesn't count because if they get eaten, then they get destroyed by these things called lysosomes. It's like there's security guys outside and inside the cell. These lupus antibodies can cross these membranes, avoid the security guys on both sides, and they have free reign of access inside the cell. When they do that, and that's what part of the biggest finding here is, finally, the cell then sees the antibody, sees it stuck to these nucleic acids, and it says, whoa, that's not supposed to be happening. What's going on here? And something called a pattern recognition receptor then finally says, all right, we got to wake up. Let's fire up an immune system response here. And then the cavalry arrives. The T cells arrive, and they say, oh, my goodness, how did we let this happen? There's a tumor here, and they fight it off.
Wow.
So we're using that heightened lupus response against brain tumors.
So this is just so incredible to me. Dr. Hansen, I'm curious, have you been able to use these findings? Like, have there been clinical trials or anything, or is that the next step to see if it's effective?
Yeah, so that's the next step for this path with this antibody. I'm very lucky to be part of a whole team and network of us that believe in these cell-penetrating lupus antibodies, and some have gotten them to the clinical trials, and they're proving to be safe for other reasons. So I have every reason to believe this is going to be safe as well. And I'm just crossing my fingers that efficacy stays there in our patients, which would be fantastic.
So there are currently patients that are part of this research, it sounds like. But when do you think, Dr. Hansen, we would see, you know, I would think almost pretty quickly, right? I mean, if we start to see that a tumor either shrinks in size or, you know, dare I say, goes away, I mean, you'd have to imagine it's from this new way of attacking it, correct?
Right. But it's going to, in order for this new antibody and this approach to make it to the patients, there's a bunch of hurdles we got to get through. And that's the next phase of things. So I hate to make promises to any patients that might be listening about how soon this will be ready for prime time. But I can promise that I'm all in on this, and we are actively looking to take those next steps.
So, Dr. Hansen, and I appreciate your honesty with that, are you going to be opening up slots for if there are Connecticut residents who would like to be part of this clinical trial because maybe they feel like they've exhausted all other ways, but they have this and they want to attack, you know, aggressive types of tumors like the ones you're talking about. They want to be part of this. Do you have any idea timeline wise, ballpark, when we could open up slots if people are interested in being part of a clinical trial for this?
Yeah, and just to be clear, there is no clinical trial for this antibody yet.
It's right,
not,
right.
It's not ready. If I was to be incredibly optimistic about the progress and success, people always tell me, think of the longest possible time it would take you and then multiply by 6, and that's what will really happen.
Okay.
Maybe 5 years. Honestly.
Okay.
Just because
but,
of all the all the regulations and things for that it takes to get from a new finding to a human patient is vast.
But I think that 5 years, that's, I mean, even if that was the, you know, like the soonest, I think, look, unfortunately, Dr. Hansen, and you would have this better than I would, cancer continues to be, you know, something that plagues everybody. It touches so many lives, whether you yourself are diagnosed with a type of cancer or you know somebody who has. Cancer, I just feel like, has become almost a norm. And when you hear about maybe a light at the end of the tunnel, something like what you're talking about being a potential groundbreaker, I think that gives hope. And so, you know, I certainly want to keep an eye on this and get any updates when they become available. And I thank you for the work that you and other researchers are doing into this and for sharing it here on WICC. Like I said, it gives us hope.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Dr. Hansen, thank you for what you do and for joining us on WICC. We appreciate it.